Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. You may be seated. Sometimes I go back and look at the Old Covenant messengers and read the articles that were written many years ago. Last Saturday morning is what I did. I just flipped open an old, I keep them in notebooks, flipped open notebook, and I turned right to this article. Then I turned a couple pages and saw two more articles. All three articles are written by our own Dan and Corey. It's in the New Covenant Messenger number 26. I think we're up to number 218 or something like that. The third article I saw, written by Corey, was very interesting. I'll just give you a brief summary of it. It told of the origin of Valentine's Day. Valentine was a Roman Catholic priest who defied the emperor's order to ban marriages and married many couples. The Roman Catholic Church merged the worship of Lupercalia and the death of the priest Valentine. Lupercalia was the she-wolf that nursed Romulus and Remus when they were orphaned. The two boys grew up and are credited with the founding of Rome. Corey, in her second article, said the following about why they were homeschooling. I quote, "As I said, that was 7 or 8 years ago, and now our oldest, that would be Hannah, is doing 6th and 7th grade work. Our second daughter, that would be Katie, is in the 3rd grade. Our third daughter, that's Rebecca, who now is in South Africa, is in the 2nd grade. And we're going to be starting kindergarten with our 4th daughter, well, that's Emily, in the fall. And then she wrote, not to leave anyone out, God has also given us a son, that is Abel, who will be 2 years old this month. Well, Abel now is, he 20 or close to 20? 20 next month. So that means the New Covenant messenger that I was reading was about 18 years old. My, how time flies. But the first article that I opened was the article written by Dan titled, "Listen, When a Dumb Man Speaks. I remember that article. I think he also preached it. It was an article that dealt with a favorite portion of Scripture for Dan, and that favorite portion of Scripture is Luke chapter 1. I thought, quote, what a fine article. It needs to be done again so our people don't forget what happened. Do you know who Luke wrote the book of Luke to? And not just this book, but his next, the book of Acts. It was written to Theophilus. Who was he? Well, no one knows. All we know for sure is that he was a man instructed in the life of Christ. That is all. I liked how Dan started out his article. He said, quote, several times in the Bible, God used strange or unusual events to precede the delivery of an important truth or prophecy, unquote. Dan gave several examples of what happened in several Bible stories. For example, the talking mule. Guy riding a mule, and the mule turns around and talks to him. That would be an unusual event. How about the hungry lions that did not eat Daniel? And the fish that swallowed Jonah. These events certainly set the stage for what was coming. But what Dan was alleging was the strange or unusual event that preceded the birth of our Savior. It was actually the birth of another Isaac. And that's the title of this message, Another Isaac. Luke states that he will give to Theophilus the information of the truth of all things about Jesus Christ. It will come from eyewitnesses, ministers of the word, firsthand knowledge, and knowledge from above. Now, the unusual event. Luke begins his narrative with the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. King Herod was an Idumean or Edomite by birth, founder of the Herodian family and king of Judea from 40 BC to 4 AD. He was made such by the Roman Senate on recommendation of Mark Antony and Octavius Caesar. King Herod was a Jew by religion and by birth. The elderly priest, Zacharias, was of the house of Judah. He was serving in the course of Abijah, or Abijah, the eighth course. What in the world does that mean? In 1 Chronicles 24, it tells of the dividing of the priest into 24 one-week intervals. 1 week, they were governors of the house of the Lord in their own turn, 1 week at a time. The 24 divisions of the priests were made between the chief men of only two sons of Aaron, Eleazar and Ithamar. This is because Aaron's other two sons died being childless. You remember what happened to them. They were judged by God when they offered strange fire when they were in a drunken state. That shows that children of people, good godly people, can be terrible. They were killed. There were more chief men from the son of Eleazar than Ithamar. Thus they were divided into 16 groups from Eleazar and 8 from Ithamar. Lots were drawn to determine first for the house of Eleazar, then the house of Ithamar to decide the order of the courses. Each lot was recorded by the scribe before the king. So there were 24 lots. The kings were divided into 24 groups. Each group served for 1 week. That means in 1 year, each group would have to serve two times, and a couple others, three. Zechariah's wife was also descended from Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, which was the same name as Aaron's wife. They both are stated as being righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They had grown old together. This is Zacharias and Elizabeth. They had grown old together, but they had no child. They suffered the same fate as Abram and Sarah. Barrenness was considered to be a punishment by many at that time, but what was going to happen to them were a faint foreshadowing of the greater miracle which took place in the eventual birth of our Lord. When Aaron made out his will, he was saddened by the fact that he had no son to leave it to. Zacharias was serving in the temple according to his before mentioned course. He was the eighth course. His particular job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The incense was made of a mixture of sweet spices. It was made of thaki, anja, galbum, and pure frankincense in equal parts, beaten very small. But this is when all the excitement begins. There was the presence of a whole multitude of people praying, which indicates that it was a Sabbath or a feast day. Each of the multitude prayed in silence outside the sanctuary at the time of incense. Incense was offered every evening and every morning. Probably Zacharias' vision came in the morning, which was at 9 o'clock. Suddenly and unexpectedly, standing on the right side of the altar of incense was Gabriel, an angel of the Lord. The altar on which Zacharias was burning incense, it stood in the holy place in front of the veil, which hung between the holy and the most holy places. It was a small table, 22 inches in breadth and length, and 44 inches in height. It is made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. Now we've got a picture of the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle, and later the temple. Here is the altar of burnt offering. That's where they sacrificed the animals. This is the laver. That's where they washed up. And you notice where the tabernacle and the temple opens up. North, south, east, or west. What's the only place that had a door? East. It's very similar. I brought messages on this. It's very similar to what? The Garden of Eden. Only had one entrance. When they were kicked out, they went out the east. But anyway, then we have the tabernacle. Inside's the golden lampstand. Many say that resembles the tree of life, almond tree. The table of showbread. They had unleavened bread. How many unleavened bread did they have? 12. One for each tribe. Here's the altar of incense. Then this is a veil that separates the two. And then you've got the Ark of the Covenant. Who sat on the Ark of the Covenant? That's where God ruled. That was his throne. He sat there. How many people go into the holy, most holy place? The high priest. One day a year, he went in. And he wasn't sure he was coming out. And he came out. One day a year. Well, where was he? Right here, altar of incense. His job was to offer up the prayers. The people are out here saying their prayers silently. When he's in here, he went into the temple, prayed right here. And then Gabriel, it says to the right side of the, I don't know what side. Is he face it or is it the other way? I don't know. Either on this side is where Gabriel was. And he's going to talk to him. It was here that Zacharias was ministering when Gabriel met him standing on the right side of the altar. So only the high priest one day a year could enter the most holy place. But notice all the other furniture. There's the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God's throne. He sat there. The censer. The altar of incense, the table, showbread, the candlestick, the laver, and the altar of sacrifice. None of this pertains to any other nation, does it? It's only to the covenant people of God, Israel. Well, Zacharias saw the angel. What would you do if something popped up right here? He was troubled and had much fear. But Gabriel said to him, what words is always in the Bible? You always say, Fear not. That's exactly right. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. So Zacharias says you're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. So Zacharias was told while he was performing his service at the temple. Well, he was up there at the altar of incense. Astonishing fact. Because he and his wife were too old to have a child. But they're going to have a son. And Gabriel even gives him his name. It's a duplication, I think, of the story of Abraham and Sarah. Abram is told that he's going to have a son, and he's told his name. His name is going to be Isaac. Let's stop right here, and don't put up the next ones. There's seven people who are in the Bible who are named, given their name before they're born. Now, one of them is John the Baptist. There's six others. Does anybody know any of the six? Jesus Christ is correct. That would be Matthew 1:21, and she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So that's correct. That leaves five. Does anybody know any of the other five? Josiah. That is correct. Josiah, get this. He was named 325 years before he was born. Whoa. I'll give you the scripture. We'll put it up on the wall if you want to look at it. 1 Kings 13:2. And he, the man of God of Judea, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, Altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee he shall offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Josiah was named 325 years. All right. Put up the first sheet. The Arabs are happy. Ishmael. Genesis 16:11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, the angel was speaking to Hagar, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord have heard thy affliction. The second one is Isaac. Genesis 17:19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. That means the covenant doesn't end. And with his seed after him, that was Isaac. The third one, Solomon. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, it's talking to David, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. See, Israel's got enemies. We've got enemies. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. That's 1 Chronicles 22:9. Josiah, we read. The fifth one is Cyrus. This is only 175 years before he was born. I don't know how anybody says the Bible's not the Word of God. How any man could think 175 years and give the correct name. It's Isaiah 44:28. That saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundations shall be laid. And then Jesus Christ. So we had Ishmael, Isaac, Solomon, Josiah, Cyrus, and Jesus. So right from the beginning, John was in, I would say, pretty good company. Oh, but there's a lot more to the story. After Zacharias was told by Gabriel that he was going to be given a son and that he would have joy and gladness, many shall rejoice at his son's birth. His son shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Here's something unusual. He shall not drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. He shall turn many of the children of Israel, it's the children of Israel, not anybody else, the children of Israel to their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's quite a job. Zacharias was told by a spiritual being in the place right in front of the veil that he would feel as Abraham did when he named his newborn son Isaac. Isaac meant laughter. And many, but not all, shall rejoice at the birth of his son. Well, what did Zacharias answer Gabriel? What would you answer? Well, he asked for a sign, which showed his unbelief. Zacharias seemed to think it was too late for him to have any children. So he didn't believe the words that Gabriel had just told him. So he wants a sign. As a result, Gabriel told Zacharias that he would be dumb. Now, dumb doesn't mean stupid. Dumb means not able to speak. Until the day that these things shall be performed. Remember, it was Gabriel that had announced to Daniel the time of the birth of Jesus Christ and his death. It was also Gabriel who announced the overthrow and final restoration of the nation of Judah. And he announced the birth of Jesus to Mary. Gabriel was one of the seven angels that stood in the presence of God and may probably be called angels of the presence. The seven angels are said to see the face of God. If that's true, and even if it's not true, don't you think that Zacharias should believe what the messenger of God told him without asking for a sign of approval? So Zacharias, remember, was doing his duty in the temple. He was burning incense as the people were praying outside the temple in the courtyard. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. But when he did come out, he couldn't speak a word to them. He couldn't dismiss them with the usual blessing. And they probably perceived by his excited manner that he had seen a vision in the temple. Zacharias remained speechless for over 9 months. Can you imagine that? I think some people can't not speak a word for a day. 9 months. You can't say a word. So Zacharias couldn't speak the rest of the week as he finished his course at the temple and then he went home. His silence was a sign and also a punishment for having sought one. So see, even a faithful priest, and Zacharias was a faithful priest, can even have a lapse of unbelief. And after he had been home for a couple of days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. For 5 months, she hid herself. And then she receives a visitor. Her cousin from the land of Galilee. But before this occurs, in Elizabeth's sixth month, Gabriel, the same angel, was sent by God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. This is the passage from which we learn that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. The same angel of God that had visited Zacharias 6 months earlier went to Elizabeth's cousin Mary and told her she was going to have a very special son whose name was going to be named Jesus. This was shocking to Mary, for she was a virgin and had never known a man. Gabriel told her that the Holy Spirit shall come upon her. Therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of her shall be called the Son of God. What would we have? Another special miracle birth, a virgin birth. You see, Mary and Joseph were engaged, betrothed to a man. This engagement was entered in with much ceremony and usually took place a year before the marriage. It was so sacred that the parties entering into it could not be separated save by a bill of divorcement. So Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. When Mary salutes Elizabeth when she first comes into her house, what happened? The babe in her womb, which was John, he wasn't born yet, leaped for joy. And Elizabeth and the babe in Elizabeth's belly was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right before Elizabeth gave birth, Mary returned to her home in Nazareth. Note that Mary lived in Galilee. Elizabeth lived in Judea. Galilee was where mostly descendants of Benjamin and Levi were living, with very few men from Judah, and even fewer Jews from Edom. Judea was where most of the descendants of Edom, who were the modern-day Jews, part of the modern-day Jews lived, and very few men from Judah. Well, that's a whole number sermon, which I gave before. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine how Zacharias felt. If we go without speaking, for a week it'd be tough. He had not said a word for about 10 months. When he failed to believe what Gabriel had told him, God made him unable to say a word. So when the people who were praying saw Zacharias after he came out of the temple on that day, knew that something strange had occurred during his stay. For the remainder of the week, when he finished his course, he was silent. And then he was silent when they traveled back home. I don't know how a wife could stand it. The husband wouldn't talk. When he had intimate relations with his wife, couldn't say a word. When Elizabeth announced to him her pregnancy, when Elizabeth told her cousin Mary what had happened after she saluted them, through all 9 months of the wife's pregnancy, he couldn't say one word. When a son was born, he couldn't say a word. When his son was circumcised, he couldn't say anything. What kind of thing is this? They circumcised John on the 8th day of his life. The 8th day. And that's the best time to do it. And the people who were with him called the little boy Zacharias, after his father. But the mother, Elizabeth, said, no. His name shall be John. That tells me that Zacharias had told Elizabeth what had happened. But the people protested. And they said, none of your kindred are called by that name. You don't want to name John. So they asked Zacharias what he thought his son should be called. Well, Zacharias, of course, Couldn't speak. So what would he do? He asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote four words. His name is John. The people marveled. I think Zacharias believed what that angel told him. 10 months of not saying a word, I think, convinced him. When he wrote that, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke and praised God. Think about this. He hadn't uttered one word in 10 months, and now he was praising God. The people who were around these new elderly parents, they were elderly, were filled with fear. And the word spread throughout the hill country of Judea. Let's think about Zacharias' dumbness, his lack of speech. If this happened today, suppose, boom, I cannot speak. Could there be any pill which would have made Zacharias to speak? Could there be any kind of medicine or surgery that could help him? I don't think it'd make any difference. He wasn't going to speak until the time of his child's birth and then when he's circumcised. And he didn't know if he'd ever say another word again. But now he believed what Gabriel had told him. And Zacharias became filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied the following information. Now, what do you think he prophesied? He hadn't spoke for almost 10 months. Probably thinking that he would never say another word. Do you think what he said would have been the result of months of preparation? I think it probably was. What was the message that this elderly man would prophesy? Well, now we're going to have the prophecy, the thing that he said. And this is what Dan truly loves. This is what I got from his message. He loves what Zacharias said after being 10 months of not saying anything. Now, he was a priest, a faithful priest, so he knew the Bible. We start Luke chapter 1, we go 68 through 79. It's not a very long prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of all the nations of the world. Well, I didn't say that. Did he? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Zacharias begins by worshiping the God who had made him speechless for almost a year. He identified him as being the God of Israel. No other people are mentioned as he's being the God over. I think when he's sitting in the most holy place on the Ark of the Covenant is God over your people, I don't think you had a problem like we do today. No other people are mentioned as being the God over. He said that the God of Israel had visited and redeemed his people was obviously, it's not the whole world, but it's Israel. At this particular time, most of the house of Israel was in a state of divorcement. Now the next verse. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. God has raised up the strength or power for whom? It wasn't the Chinese or the Africans or the Indians or the Arabs. Nobody but us, the descendants of his servant David. Verse 70, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies. Well, there it is. Israel's got enemies. and from the hand of all that hate us. Oh, there's people that hate us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. And to remember something. And to remember His holy covenant. The oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Whoa, that's something. Zacharias talked about the holy prophets, what they've been speaking since the world began. What were they speaking? That Israel should be saved from their enemies. The mercy promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will be performed. To remember the holy covenant that He sware to our father Abraham. That Israel, once they are delivered from our enemies, might serve Him without fear. And that Israel will serve their God in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. Got four more verses of His prophecy. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And he ended his prophecy. The last four verses he addressed his 8-day-old son. He says that John will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. He will be the one that begin to give the light to Israel by promoting the light of the world, Jesus Christ. I think he did his job. But did you notice all the personal pronouns that Zacharias uttered in this short speech? It was some of the first words that he had spoken since he was unable to speak any words for almost 10 months. Look at all the personal pronouns. I typed it up and I got the personal pronouns underlined here. I'm going to read the whole prophecy again because it's so short. Here's what he said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. And He spake by the mouth of His prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And if the personal pronouns weren't enough to convince you, what did Zacharias mention right smack dab in the middle of his prophecy? Verse 72 and 73. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. What's the unconditional holy covenant that God made with our father Abraham? It's told in Genesis. They killed a 3-year-old heifer and sliced it in two. They sliced a 3-year-old she-goat, sliced it in two. A ram, 3 years old, and sliced it in two. And has killed a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Abram was in a deep sleep. Only God walked the path of the covenant. Now why? I told you, Abraham was in a sound, deep sleep. The covenant was passed on, well, so God walked through the covenant, cut the covenant. It's unconditional covenant. The who'd he pass it on to? That's my next chart. And this is all told in the Bible. Well, Abraham had 3 women, right? Hagar, Sarah, and Keturah. Sarah said, you go, I'm too old to have a child. Can't have one. You go ahead and take my handmaid from Egypt, Hagar. So he did. Ishmael. Then Isaac was born. It's a miracle. It was such a miracle when they were told it, they laughed. Oh, can't have a son. And then after Sarah died, he married Keturah and had 6 more sons. Here's the chart of the 8 sons of Abraham with the 3 women. Now, who was the covenant passed on to? It went to Isaac. In Isaac your seed shall be. It's Isaac. It's not Ishmael. It's not Zimran. It's Isaac. And then it goes to Esau. But what did Esau do? He hated the covenant. He sold it. And then it goes to Jacob. And then his seed, the seed of Jacob. Well, Zacharias and Elizabeth were the seed of Jacob. John the Baptist was born of Isaac many generations. And Joseph and Mary were the seed of that particular one. And Jesus Christ was a special birth, a virgin birth. Well, who were the people that Zacharias was talking about that the God of Israel visited and redeemed? Well, and you know, also Mary also addressed the covenant in Luke chapter 1. It's in verse 54 and 55. It says, verse 54, he hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 55. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I think we're still forever. It's very important who are these people. The Abrahamic covenant is the difference as to why we are a holy people, a particular people, and a particular treasure. The Bible is the book that tells who is in that covenant. It only went to one of Abram's 8 sons, Isaac. It did not go to his first son, Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arabs of the world today. It then went only to one of Isaac's two twin sons, Esau. But he despised the covenant and sold it to his twin brother, Jacob. Esau is the father of the Jews of today. It then went to Jacob's seed. It is this people who are the people of God. All Israelites who commit the sin of miscegenation, their seed is no longer part of the covenant. True descendants of Jacob, Esau, are the covenant people of God. Now my conclusion. The birth of John the Baptist and Isaac were similar in a lot of ways. Both of their parents were old, past the time when they could produce a child. They both were told that they would have a son in the near future. Neither parents believed the message that they were told. Both set of parents were punished for their unbelief. Both received with joy their son. John the Baptist was a descendant by many years of Isaac. And even a young Christian, even young children, know from Sunday school Isaac and they know John the Baptist. After Zacharias's nearly 10 months of silence, what he said wasn't a spur of the moment or off-the-cuff little speech. And if the length of time to prepare or Zacharias' position as an Aaronic priest didn't qualify him to say something meaningful, then how about the help he received by being full of the Holy Spirit? So the next time you sit down to read about the birth of Jesus or hear someone else start a story reading at the beginning of Luke chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Please, just back up a few verses, and you will find out why and to whom the Savior was being born. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.